The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Retailers are warning of price hikes and shortages over the holiday season. Products are not just harder to get, but more expensive. Prices for kids' shoes up 12% in the past year. Beef up 17%. New and used cars up 24%. And gas up 42%.
That's from the major media over the weekend. And, of course, you listen to the Biden people, and they're telling you this is all great news, the fact that there's skyrocketing inflation. That means people are, well, they're out buying things. So that's great. That's great. The supply chains that are disrupted, all of those shipping containers that are just sitting at our ports that aren't being unloaded, that's a good sign. That's a good sign, says the transportation secretary. That means that they're in high demand, all these goods. That's the spin that they're putting upon it. Meanwhile, Americans, they're so upset by this that you've got a governor's race in Virginia that's running neck and neck right now. The Republican actually has a chance in this dark blue state. A lot of Americans disturbed, deeply disturbed by what they see happening in their beloved nation. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you tuning in. Our live broadcast, of course, it goes out through one of our broadcast partners, CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on that platform for the audio-only live stream of this show every day here in the United States. And, of course, worldwide, you can get to the program at our website. You get the video version of the live stream. That's at our website. It's offered exclusively there at thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. to get to the live stream page, and also to get to the podcasts that we post after the fact in case you want to catch up on some of the programs that you missed. Well, I mentioned the transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg. He's commenting on, he's on the Sunday shows talking about the supply chain meltdown. And here's what he had to say yesterday, clip one.
We're seeing major supply chain disruption in the U.S. right now, causing everything from higher prices to longer waits for products. Moody's warns that these supply chain disruptions, quote, will get worse before they get better, unquote. Do Americans need to prepare ourselves for this to get worse before it gets better?
Well, certainly a lot of the challenges that we've been experiencing this year will continue into next year.
There's your forecast. Yeah, it's gonna get worse even going into next year. It's the same thing they say with COVID. Yeah, and Fauci comes out. Yeah, maybe, and we've got to be on guard. If you're vaccinated, maybe you can have a normal December. But then, you know, this is going to stay with us. And no wonder they're having a hard time winning elections. No wonder they're terrified at the thought of Donald Trump getting back into politics. No wonder they're afraid of what might happen next year during the midterms. And no wonder they don't want you even looking or hinting at the fact that last November, of course, there was all kinds of corruption and fraud. The steal of the century. And, you know, you look at that gubernatorial race in Virginia. Here's Terry McAuliffe. He's the left winger, and they're still trying to campaign on Donald Trump. We had some clips last week. We didn't get around to them, but that these people saying what Donald Trump's doing to democracy. He's just been down at his hotel for the last 9 months in Florida, and he's the one? He's responsible for all that's wrong in America? These people are delusional the way that they think. Even as they keep driving the country into the ground. That's what it amounts to. You heard it from Chuck Todd. I mean, he's a radical leftist. And there he is talking about gas prices up 42%. This is just since Joe Biden took over. illegitimately, just since Joe Biden took over, 42%. The cost for new cars, used cars, it's going up. When do used car prices go up? Well, we're in that time period right now. Here's more from Pete Buttigieg yesterday, clip two.
Part of what's happening isn't just the supply side, it's the demand side. Demand is off the charts. Retail sales are through the roof. And if you think about those images of ships, for example, waiting at anchor on the West Coast, you know, every one of those ships is full of record amounts of goods that Americans are buying because demand is up, because income is up, because the president has successfully guided this economy out of the teeth of a terrifying recession.
Right. Carry on with your delusional thinking. This is great. All those shipping containers just sitting there. Some of them have been there for months, but this is awesome. I mean, the demand is off the charts. The demand is off the charts. There's shelves in supermarkets empty and costs skyrocketing, as you heard from the cold open. And there he is. Jen Psaki said the same thing last week about inflation. This is good. Do you think they'd be singing that tune if a Republican was in office? They'd be using these catastrophic figures as a cudgel, and they'd be pounding away. Americans aren't buying it, are they? This is good news. The fact that we can't get those containers unloaded. And then, of course, if they do get around to placing blame on it, well, it's the private sector. I mean, we're not running the post office, says the government that runs the post office. Here's clip three.
Now the issue is, even though our ports are handling more than they ever have, record amounts of goods coming through, our supply chains can't keep up. And of course, our supply chains, that's a complicated system that is mostly in private hands, and rightly so.
It's a very complicated system, and it's in private hands. We really don't have anything to do with it, says the government that wants to have everything to do with everything. That's right. And people are beginning to... I just got an email right before the show. These news sources that are beginning to wake up to the fact that this is an attack. And that Joe Biden's not the real president. They're coming around to what the Trumpet's been saying from the beginning. Judge Deneen, she played the clip of Obama with Colbert. Remember last November? Yeah, I would like to be in the basement, you know, kind of pulling the strings, maybe using the earpiece, telling the president what to do. That's what he's doing. That is what is happening. America Under Attack, just as our booklet is titled, our booklet from 2013. This is from Red State. Is it possible Joe Biden's destructive serial screw-ups are actually intentional? Is it possible that these are intentional actions? Is it possible that this is what they want? It is. It says the second way to view Joe Biden's policies and actions as president is that he, or more likely, the unidentified ciphers telling him what to do, seem bent on doing the precise things that damage the country, its democratic operations, and the people's faith in long-revered institutions. It's intentional damage, says Red State. It's an intentional attack, says Judge Deneen. Says, seriously, if you wanted to screw up the country, you couldn't be much more effective than Biden's initiatives, spending trillions of dollars in new spending that in effect encouraged millions to avoid full-time jobs, or taking a quiet border with Mexico where illegal immigration was drastically slowed, saying wild things that seemed to promise citizenship in the land of plenty, and appointing an incompetent to address the causes. It says we have seemingly a seemingly harmless tool like Joe Biden out front, willingly taking orders on what to say and whom to call on. He can't call on certain reporters. He's got to go by the list. He's got to go by the script. He's got to follow the narrative. As the puppet master, that would be Barack Obama. works from the basement. They shoved him in the basement. That's Joe Biden during the campaign. And now everything's being controlled. Carefully so. Carried out. This is the plan. This is what they want. I mean, you can't really make this up, can you? Some of the things we're witnessing this year. Here, speaking of Buttigieg, he ran for president, of course, against Biden and the Democrat Party. So Biden gets in there illegitimately. He selects Buttigieg as the transportation secretary. He's in office all of six, 7 months? And then he's a homosexual. So he and his partner, they adopt twins. And then he's on paternity leave, paid paternity leave, for 2 months during one of the greatest shipping crises in American history. He's over transportation, if you can believe it. And he takes 2 months off. And then some, of course, have come forward and criticized this, saying, look, we need you. We need you to empty these containers. But he's gone. And now, what's their response? Hey, we're just trying to build family. Now they're pro-family. Not traditional family. The upside-down variety. Now it's all about family. Now it's all about taking care of the kids. Says the party that destroys family. The party that attacks family. Nonstop. This was Buttigieg. Well, let me just give you a few from the administration. Jen Psaki, also proud to work in an administration that is fighting to make paid leave a reality for every... Oh, so here's what it is, actually. Another government program. He's got to stay home. Not 1 month. Not two... He just finished 2 months, but he's going back. He's still... He needs 3 months. I don't know if his partner's at home as well. I guess they've got both of them. Both of the dads, or whoever's the dad, whoever's the mom. And the government... The taxpayer, we're paying for it. We're paying for the transportation secretary to stay home. He doesn't even appoint an acting secretary in his absence. He's making a few phone calls from the house. And meanwhile, you've got tens of thousands of containers just sitting there in the ocean. And shelves empty. And prices skyrocketing. Inflation out of control. And these same people saying, that's a good sign. And oh, by the way, I'm so proud of Pete Buttigieg. I'm so proud he's in an administration that's working to get paid leave for everybody in the United States. Mothers and fathers, I guess. This is the Assistant Speaker of the House, Catherine Clark. Going on paternity leave isn't being MIA or missing in action. It's called being a parent. And Secretary Pete is a new parent, no different than the millions of other Americans who also deserve the right to care for their loved ones during birth, sickness, and old age. Every other American deserves this as well. There's also, just so that you know, there's also millions of Americans that would like to see the supermarket shelves full of items, of goods, so that they can provide for their families, their children. Well... Here's the transportation secretary yesterday saying in response to some of his critics, well, look, I'm not going to apologize. This is what we need. This is what I need. This is what my two adopted children need. This is clip 4.
As you might imagine, we're bottle feeding and doing it at all hours of the day and night. And I'm not going to apologize to Tucker Carlson or anyone else for taking care of my premature newborn infant twins. The work that we are doing is joyful, fulfilling, wonderful work. It's important work, and it's work that every American ought to be able to do when they welcome a new child into their family.
Now they're big on family, dysfunctional family, but we'll leave that aside. Now they're so concerned about the children, the little children. Listen to one more from yesterday, clip 5.
Paid family leave is important. It's important as a matter of family values. It's important to our economy. And one more thing that I think is maybe underappreciated. When somebody welcomes a new child into their family and goes on leave to take care of that child, that's not a vacation. It's work. It's joyful, wonderful, fulfilling work. But it is work. And it's time that our nation join pretty much every other country in the world and recognize that.
So it's all politics, essentially. Paid family leave is important for everybody. It's important for the economy. For the government to pay all these parents to stay home. Look at how excited they get about paying people not to work. They did it during COVID. And now here comes this. We gotta cram this into the $5 trillion in spending we want to push through. This helps the economy. Just like inflation is good. Just like supply chains backing up is good. It's a good thing. Straight out of George Orwell's writings. Listen to this. This is also not the Transportation Department, the Department of the Secretary of the Treasury. Listen to him. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but listen to how he explains solving this supply chain crisis. Clip 6.
Today, we face an economy that's in transition. And as part of that transition, we are seeing high prices for some of the things that people have to buy. But the reality is that the only way we're going to get to a place where we work through this transition is if everyone in America and everyone around the world gets vaccinated.
What?
Yeah, we're with Oprah on this one. If everyone gets the vaccine is going to solve the supply chain crisis? This, as I say, is delusional reasoning. The vaccination, you know, the one that's killed 16,000 Americans, at least 16,000 that we know of, 16,000 that the VAERS website from the CDC has admitted to say nothing of the tens of thousands struggling with health trials because of the vaccine. You may have seen the news just this morning. Colin Powell, the former Secretary of State, He died from COVID complications? Well, but he was fully vaxxed. So he got the vaccine and he died from COVID? Sounds a little strange, a little bit iffy, if you ask me. Now, the man was in his 80s, so he was an older man. But let's get more of an explanation. How about that? Because people are relying on the vaccine to protect themselves, right? Isn't it supposed to protect? Didn't protect Colin Powell. And yet this vaccination, the vaccine, is going to magically fix all of the supply chain issues. Yeah, all over the world. If we can just get everyone in the world vaccinated, that's what this Department of the Secretary of Treasury representative said. America and everyone around the world gets vaccinated. The whole world. If we can just get this experimental drug into all 7-8 billion people in the world, it's going to help the economy. It's going to empty out those supply chain lines. Oh, yes. Listen to Dr. Fauci over the weekend. He's getting, as you would expect he should, he's getting a lot of criticism. People who are sick and tired of lockdowns. People who want to see this finally come to an end, who want to see food on the shelves and so on at the supermarket. Here he is. I think he's on with Chris Wallace talking about just how he's always been a defender of the truth. Clip 8.
But as time has gone on, you have become a polarizing figure. Critics accuse you of sending mixed messages. There's allegations that you helped fund dangerous research at the Wuhan lab. Two questions. Why do you think you've become so controversial? And honestly, do you think there's anything you have done that has contributed to that?
Well, I'm not so sure I could answer the latter because I can't think of anything, but I'm sure some people will. But, you know, Chris, I have stood for always making science, data, and evidence be what we guide ourselves by. And I think people who feel differently, who have conspiracy theories, who deny reality that's looking them straight in the eye, those are people that don't particularly care for me. And that's understandable, because what I do, and I try very hard, is to be guided by the truth. And sometimes the truth becomes inconvenient for some people, so they react against me.
Right, like we say in the science falsely so-called article from The Trumpet a few months ago. These people see themselves as the truth and the way, and they know. And if you disagree with them, you're a conspiracy theorist. Science falsely so-called. That's in your Bible. That was written, that was inspired 2,000 years ago. The Apostle Paul was right on it. There's a lot of fake science that's out there. Listen to, we played a couple from Dr. Peter McCullough on Friday. Skip ahead to number 11.
Sadly, we have over 20,000 Americans that the CDC tells us are permanently disabled after the vaccine. That's bigger than some major cancer groups. The disability that we are going to see due to these vaccines will go down in history as an unbelievable atrocity. I made a presentation to the Heritage Foundation in Washington that provides a lot of oversight to the House and the Senate, as well as the agencies. And I made this presentation. You could hear a pin drop when I was done. Pin drop. And finally, one of the former presidents of the American Medical Association said, Dr. McCullough, we have the biggest biological catastrophe on our hands in human history with a medicinal product, and we've had two administrations buy into it. We've had all the houses of legislation buy into it. We have the entire medical establishment buy into it, and the whole media, and no one knows how to stop it. No one knows how to stop this freight train, and we're all witnessing it right now.
Everyone's bought in. See, they're all in. Republicans, Democrats, the media, Big Pharma. Everybody, of course, Big Pharma, they're making money hand over fist. Pfizer, what did the Pfizer rep say? Yeah, we're operating on COVID money. What about Moderna? What about its skyrocketing share price, its stock price, even as cost for food skyrockets? If you work for Moderna, you're in good shape right about now. Same with Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson, all of them. Everybody's bought in. And what about the 20,000 that the CDC tells us have been permanently disabled because of this dangerous drug? 20,000? And then the same doctor points out what the CDC tells us as far as deaths are concerned. 16,000? Colin Powell died because of, it's something related to COVID. Could it be the vaccine? He got the double jab. What did that do to his immune system? We'll never know, will we? Everybody buys in. We all just go right along with this biggest biological catastrophe of our time. One more quote from Dr. McCullough. This is clip 13.
Without protection from pharmaceutical laws, the vaccines will do more harm. There's no doubt about it. We are in a free fall of a lawless state.
Yeah, that's a larger point that we could emphasize here. We're in a free fall of a lawless state. All of this is happening because of lawlessness. Sickness from within. Just like Isaiah 1 and Isaiah 3. Stress. The nations of Israel, Richard in his stack of news today, he sent a bit of news about China, what China's been doing through all of this. While we've been killing ourselves, China's there testing nuclear-capable hypersonic missiles. China is attacking the United States in multiple ways. The weapon, the biological weapon, remember, came from China. Came from the Wuhan lab. And Dr. Fauci helped fund it. And now you've got these Biden people saying, if everybody in the world gets the vaccine, then maybe those supply chain lines, maybe those will finally clear up. The vaccine, I mean, the vaccine's going to build a utopia. If you listen to what these people are saying, they believe it. China is experimenting with orbital nuclear bombardment, a rocket that can launch a hypersonic glide vehicle. In this article from the Financial Times, it quotes some U.S. official, unnamed, saying, "We have no idea how they did this. We didn't even know this was going on." This was going on, by the way, these experiments in August. And that, remember, was the month for the disastrous retreat, ignominious defeat, really, from Afghanistan. You know, where we were abandoning hostages? U.S. hostages, American citizens, turning over Bagram to the terrorists who were then let out of prison and strapped on the suicide bomb and killed 13 Americans. As that was going on in Afghanistan, this is what China was doing. It says the U.S., Russia, and China are all developing hypersonic weapons, including glide vehicles that are launched into space on a rocket but orbit the Earth under their own momentum. They fly at 5 times the speed of sound, slower than a ballistic missile, but they do not follow the fixed parabolic trajectory of a ballistic missile and are maneuverable, making them harder to track. It says Taylor Fravel, an expert on Chinese nuclear weapons policy, who was unaware of the test, said a hypersonic glide vehicle armed with a nuclear warhead could help China negate U.S. missile defense systems, which are designed to destroy incoming ballistic missiles. Wow, I mean, this is a massive step forward for China. My father wrote from the August 2020 Trumpet magazine, where the China-America clash is leading. And then you might remember one from back in, I think it's 2015 or 16, how that China is steering the world toward war. That was a few years ago at the Trumpet. Tomorrow's News Today. You can subscribe, by the way. Just call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. 930-3024. It's a toll-free number here in the United States, Canada, Caribbean. My father said last summer, for years, China has worked ferociously to surpass the U.S. in economic power and scientific advancements. By now, it probably has overtaken America by some economic measures. The Chinese Communist Party is also amassing staggering levels of military power. It's bent on asserting more and more control, not just over the people of China, but over the territory and people in the nation's periphery, you know, like Taiwan. It's already taken over the South China Sea, basically. And now it's threatening Taiwan with all these flyovers of military aircraft. And you think the United States is going to step up and defend little Taiwan? Not under this illegitimate regime, that's for sure. It says America's national debt keeps climbing towards $30 trillion. This week, this weakness will be a major factor that strips the U.S. of its superpower status and a lot more. As China does all it can to hasten America's decline, the China-U.S. relationship is becoming a tense clash of economic giants. It says this clash was prophesied in your Bible. We heard a message just over the weekend from Andrew Locher about reminding us of this Mart of Nations prophecy. And how that the United States is, well, first, the first stage of the Great Tribulation is this economic siege. You see just how vulnerable our nations are. If there's just a little kink in the supply chain, that's all that it takes, because we're so dependent on nations like China. It's even worse for little Britain. The United Kingdom is an island, remember. And most of their goods, most of their food, it comes into Great Britain from shipping containers. So one little disruption. One of the things that Andrew Locher was pointing out is how that, and it's prophesied in the book of Genesis, that for generations, the United States and Britain controlled every major sea port gateway, Seagates, as we've called them, as it's called in the United States and Britain in prophecy. And more of those gates, like in Panama or wherever, they've come under, the U.S. and Britain has lost control of them. And more of those gates, those important sea gates in the Middle East, they're not even being used as much by the U.S. and Britain as they used to be. It's Europe. It's China now. It's a new world we're living in. And all of these nations, these enemy nations, they despise the United States and Britain. They want to take it down. The great empire and the great superpower. And so then you look at our own nation, at least in the case of the United States. And here's Barack Obama working behind the scenes to carry that out. This is part of the plan. He's the puppet master, and he despises America. He wants to see the America, as most Americans know it to be, he wants to see that America destroyed and replaced by a communist superstate. That's what he thinks he's creating. And the enemies are swirling about. China, well, I'll just refer you to that article from 2020 and the one from a few years before that, steering the nation, steering the world, in fact, toward war. I've talked in recent programs about the coming civil war, again, all as part of that early part of the Great Tribulation. Let me just conclude this segment by a quote from George Friedman. He's a commentator. We've read his materials for decades. We've met the man even. He's getting up there. He's looking in age, I mean. He's looking at the world we're looking at, that we're monitoring on this program. And he doesn't like what he sees. He says here, "I'm afraid that the fabric of our society and even of the world is being torn apart, never to be rebuilt." I mean, this is a man who really seems to be losing some hope. This is a man who's somewhat familiar with Herbert Armstrong's teachings, by the way. A world torn apart, never to be rebuilt. He says, being a good analyst isn't the same as living a life. The cold comfort of an analyst's indifference does not protect against being a stranger in a strange land. My mind knows we will not only recover, but recreate a better world. My heart is far less certain. He's far less certain about hope for the future. Well, there is hope beyond all of these catastrophic developments that are prophesied in your Bible, for sure. But that hope is in, as I covered this morning in my doctrines class, that hope is in the establishment of God's government on earth, the restitution of all things, the restoration of God's government on this earth. We'll talk more on that and a few other things here in the Bible study segment coming up. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One may blind his eyes to existing facts and trends and say the world cannot get any worse than it already is. Or, if we just ignore the conditions and don't worry, perhaps they'll go away. But these conditions and trends won't just go away. Not unless they are caused to go away. The scriptures of the Holy Bible, the inspired revelation of the Supreme God, have foretold today's world conditions and trends and give us the advance news of coming peace on earth, of universal prosperity, of happiness and joy, of veritable utopia. This is the good news of the world tomorrow. And it is absolutely sure. This coming world is vividly described in our booklet, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Bible prophecy explains in detail how God will intervene to save mankind from destroying himself. Jesus Christ will return to earth, putting an end to the rule of man and restore God's government on earth. To learn much more about this prophesied utopia, please visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Herbert Armstrong used to say that when you look at this world today, it's like viewing the end of a movie and you really can't make sense of it. You can't understand what's happening unless you go back to the beginning of human civilization, unless you go back to the start or the foundation of this present evil world, as Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 4. How did it all begin? Well, you can go back to the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis 1, and see that God set out to reproduce himself. This is his supreme purpose. You see it right there in Genesis 1, verse 26. Let us make man in our image and likeness. Before even that, of course, Lucifer and one-third of the angels rebelled against their maker, against God himself. That's discussed in Revelation 12 and Ezekiel 28. We'll look at Ezekiel here in just a second. But God had put Lucifer together with a third of the angels on this earth, and he gave them an opportunity to qualify for a great responsibility in carrying out God's purpose and plan for the universe. They rebelled against God and his government, and the government of God on this earth was removed. It was taken away by Lucifer's rebellion. Lucifer became Satan the devil. Then God created the first human beings, Adam and Eve, out from Adam, and he put them in this Garden of Eden and offered them the opportunity to replace Satan on earth's throne. God offered this to Adam. Adam, as we know, rebelled against God and his government. He followed after his rebellious wife. The two of them together rejected the tree of life. And God, as the end of Genesis 3 says, God sent them forth from the Garden of Eden. He cut off mankind from the tree of life. And mankind's been cut off from the tree of life and God's Holy Spirit ever since, except for a tiny few that God's called out in advance of his son's return to this earth to help them prepare, to train them for positions of rule, of leadership in God's family, in God's kingdom. This is in Revelation 2 in verse 4. Says here, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. God's speaking about the first era of his church, Ephesus. He says, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you are fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So God says, go back and do what you did at the beginning. Remember those first works that you did. Go back to the day of small things. Remember how it all started. Verse 7, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If you overcome, look, I'll give you access to my Spirit power. You can take from the tree of life. Right in the midst of the paradise of God. God's taking us back to the beginning of the movie. God put our first parents in this Garden of Eden. All of this beauty, and he said, now you dress it and keep it. Before that, he said, now go and be fruitful and multiply. And he said to Adam and Eve, now you have dominion over the animals. You have dominion over this physical creation, over the earth. So rule it the right way. Rule it in a way that Lucifer did not. rule it in a way that really does beautify and maintain. Speaking of Lucifer, notice this. This is Ezekiel 28 and verse 12. It says, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, Thus says the eternal God, you seal up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I mean, this was the masterpiece of God's creation, Lucifer, at least in the sense of God being able to bring him into existence by instantaneous fiat. A brilliant being that received the best training of anyone in history, any being in history. Verse 13 says, You have been in Eden, the garden of God. So he was trained right at God's throne, right at God's throne room. He was the covering cherub. I won't read all the verses through here, but then notice it says, You have been in Eden, the garden of God. So you got all of this training from God himself, and then God sent him out on assignment and said, Now go and use what you learned here and administer God's government over these angels, these righteous angels. And do it right there in Eden, the garden of God. My father writes in the Ezekiel booklet, Satan is very hostile to history and he works extremely hard to destroy it. He wants Israel to forget its history. He wants the church to forget its history. And most of all, he's working to destroy his own history. He's a master at blotting out the truth, at blotting out history, even his own history. I mean, what churches even talk about this? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. What churches acknowledge that the devil is the god of this world? That's 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Do you hear it in the churches of today? Is this even discussed at all in traditional Christianity? My father says here, he has been quite successful in these endeavors. When you forget your history, you lose your perspective and you don't know what's happening. It says if you're lost in the present, you can never cope with Satan's deceptions. Either we learn history or we will repeat it. And that includes the history of this fallen cherub. It says, without context, you're just like Eve, making your decisions based on whatever looks good. See, she observed, she experimented, she reasoned that, you know, this is pretty good. This is pretty good. And man's been operating on those kinds of scientific experiments ever since. Science, falsely so-called. Yeah, I think it's actually pretty good for us. The tree that brought so much destruction and misery and suffering to this world, and yet there they were out front saying, no, I think it's actually pretty good. My father says, I would suggest that you think deeply about that paragraph I just read to you. Notice Isaiah 45 and verse 18. The prophet says here, For thus says the Eternal that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he has established it. He created it not in vain. God didn't make it all in vain. That's the Hebrew word tohu, by the way. Some of the same language used in Genesis 1. We'll read that in a second. But it says here, He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Eternal, and there is none else. So God made the earth. He made the universe, in fact, to be inhabited, to be used. You don't see that happening when you peer out into the universe using a high-powered telescope. You just see a lot of lifeless matter. You see a lot of waste and decay. Now, that was brought on by rebellion. Lucifer's rebellion. Notice Genesis 1 and verse 1. It says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, or the heavens and the earth. And the earth was, or the word should read, became. So verse 2, it's a first, verse 1, it talks about the implication is that it was beautiful. It was good. I mean, God says after the recreation steps that he took in the rest of Genesis 1, he saw everything that had happened in the first day, second day, third day, and on it went. And he said it was very good. It was very good. But something happened here between verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 says, and the earth became without form. That's the Hebrew word tohu again. Without form and void, bohu. It became tohu and bohu. It became waste and decay. That's what it turned to. Why? Because of Lucifer's rebellion. That's what brought on the destruction that we see all throughout the universe. Psalm 104:30, I'll just read it. It says, you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. And so that's what God had to do. That's what's actually described in the rest of Genesis 1, following Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2. What's described thereafter is the renewal, the recreation of the surface of the earth to prepare it for the creation of man, to prepare it for human life. That's why the earth is so obviously different from any other planet that we're able to see or view in a telescope. Jeremiah 4 and verse 19, the prophet says, my bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Jeremiah was viewing some earthwide destruction here. It was enough to make him sick. Destruction upon destruction is cried. For the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? The trumpet is the sound of an alarm. He says, I beheld the earth, verse 23, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens and they that had no light. So in this vision, the prophet Jeremiah, he sees the whole earth as being without form and void. So this is what the sins of man has brought us to. Look at what we've done to our planet. Look at what we've done to this earth. Look at how we've polluted it. Now again, there's a satanic cult that's out there saying that climate change, if we can just get rid of hairspray and things like that, it'll solve everything. But you leave that aside, that satanic movement, that religion, you leave it aside and you look at what we've done to our cities, to the major bodies of water, the filth, the waste. We've taken it right back to tohu and bohu. Notice Ezekiel 28. Again, this is the section about Lucifer. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, and it lists them all off there. It says the workmanship of your tabrets and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I've set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. What a history. He was right there at God's throne room, the holy mountain of God, anointed, the anointed cherub. And then he was assigned to Eden, the garden of God. All of this knowledge, all of this training, all of this education. It says in verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. God found lawlessness in this being. And that lawlessness, as I said, it led to all the destruction. I mean, that rebellion damaged entire stars, moons, planets. Verse 16, it says, by the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned, it says. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy you or remove you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So here again, through this passage, you see God reminding this being of his glorious history. It says in verse 17, "Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground and lay you before kings, that they may behold you." In the Ezekiel booklet, my father says, "We must look closely at what happened to Lucifer and to the Laodiceans because Satan is still in power on this earth. He despises having his failures exposed. He detests the thought of being cast out into outer darkness. He knows his time is short. He's discouraged, depressed, and passionately hateful. He has terribly deceptive power, and his primary target is the very elect of God." That means you, if you are in that category. See, he's coming after God's people. He's coming after the nations of Israel. He's coming after God's church. And so we've got to be on guard. We've got to be prepared for his attack. Again, you look at some of that history in Genesis 1. What happened to earth? What happened to the universe? What it became because of angelic rebellion. And then look at the plan that God set out to accomplish, his grand purpose. This incredible human potential. Verse 25, this is back to Genesis 1. And it says here, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." And then verse 26 says, "And God said, let us," that would be God and the Word, "let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Wow, what a tremendous undertaking this represented. Made in the image and the likeness of God. And again, in looking at some of the church congregations today, the churches of today, how much do they get into this? This incredible human potential made in the image of God? Really? This is what Herbert Armstrong wrote back in 1974. He says, "Now we come to the second verse of Genesis 1, the government of God, by which God preserves what he created, had been removed from the earth. God proposes to restore his government by and through man, finally redeemed through Christ and born into God's family. His dual purpose, remember, is to restore the government of God upon earth and to preserve it by means of reproducing himself, by bringing man into perfect righteous character, ultimately born into the God family." You don't hear any of that in the Christian denominations. Nothing. Nothing along these lines. The fact that God's government was taken away by Lucifer's rebellion, and how that God is to restore that government by and through man, finally redeemed through Christ, born into the God family. Read about that restitution in Acts 3 and verse 21. It's all through the Bible. That subject, that discussion. Verse 28, it says, "And God blessed them." This is, again, back in Genesis 1. "God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Have dominion. I mean, learn to work with my creation, to build it up, to beautify it, to maintain it. You see that kind of activity on God's campuses, but not anywhere else in the world. We had a work party just yesterday. Such a beautiful environment that we're privileged to work in, as I said to the students this morning. Mr. Armstrong knew long ago just how much of a positive impact that glorious, glorious environment can have on our overall growth. Well, I'm out of time, but I'll continue with this tomorrow. If you join us again, you're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email us, td@thetrumpet.com. And thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.